This podcast is for general interest only. The information presented is general in nature and may not suit your particular circumstance. Hi, I'm John and welcome to the show. On this episode of About Success 123, we're going to be talking about things that you can do to try and overcome disappointments, failures, hurdles, mistakes, you know, the sort of thing that might, you know, impede your road to success. Now, we're going to be joined by someone who sees a lot of this and in a field that you might not expect. Sometimes I think it's a good idea to come at something from a different angle. Now, I know that some people take setbacks all in their stride. If something goes wrong or if they make a mistake, they just pick themselves up and off they go again. That's probably the way they're built. But let's face it, many others don't. And if you're one of those people where disappointments and hurdles and mistakes affect you deeply, then you should keep listening. So if these things sort of affect you so much that you can't move forward, then there may be some things you can do to overcome the setbacks. You know, get back on your bike, so to speak. Now, our guest, Lisanne Eriks, joins us now. Now, I mentioned earlier that Lisanne is from a field you might not expect when it comes to overcoming hurdles, failures, and mistakes. And I guess, Lisanne, you see a lot of this sort of stuff, all these sort of obstacles.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a mediator, I help people resolve conflict, and I do a lot of work in the family law area, so people who separated and divorced, and I also coach a lot of people. Or I do workplace mediation where I help people resolve conflict in the workplace or coach executives in how to have difficult conversations. So I guess my job is completely about overcoming hurdles and difficult situations. So I see it all the time.
Yeah, so why do you think people find it difficult to move on from these sorts of things, you know, setbacks and failures and stuff? Why do people get stuck?
I think one of the main things is I think a lot of time people collapse that something has failed. So you do something and something failed. So it failed, right? Mm. But what most people do is they then say, I have failed and I am a failure. So, and that's when you start running those conversations in your own mind and you keep saying that you're a failure and you're not enough and you can't do things, then that's obviously what's going to show up in your life. So because you're not a failure. And if you don't have that distinction, you know, you just had something that failed. I had many things in my life that have failed, right? Mm. But it doesn't mean that I think I'm a failure myself. So I think if you don't have that distinction, that makes it really tricky. And for a lot of people, and you can see it from really young kids, you can see it in adults, a lot of people stop trying because they're also then afraid of that failure because they feel like it doesn't look good or it tells them again that they're a failure and they don't like the feeling of that. And then they're like, well, you know what? I'm just not even going to try anymore because then I do not run the risk of feeling that way about myself. And so let's just not. And then they stop doing anything.
So is it common for people to be like this or uncommon, you know, getting stuck with failures?
I think it's very common, but I think that most of us experience being stuck. It's very normal. So I also want to normalize things a little bit. I think every time you go to a next level in your life or in business, you know, we'll call it imposter syndrome as well. You're like, okay, and now I feel really uncomfortable in this new space. I'm taking something to the next level and now I'm afraid again. But then, you know, you have to learn to overcome those things. So I actually think it's really important for people to understand that most people have these feelings and have these experiences, but it's all about what you're going to do, you know, with that feeling and with that experience. And that's why I coach a lot of people. And like I always say to people, get a coach, get someone who helps you through this, because sometimes you just get so stuck yourself that it takes you to talk to someone about it and to actually get out of your own head, because we are our own worst enemy, right? When people talk very negatively about themselves to themselves, and that's why they can't move forward. So if you can get out of your own head and have support, it's often much easier to move past all these things.
Now, I've got to ask you this question. I know you coach people in this area, but have you ever personally been in the situation yourself when you find it difficult to move on from something?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've overcome many hurdles and failures. So you probably hear from my accent, John, that I have a slight accent, and because I'm Dutch from origin. So I moved to Australia because I fell in love with my husband, and we lived in Europe for a little while, and we moved into Australia. And at the time, and this is now, well, I have to think about that, 2008, but I had a master-in-law, I was very accomplished, and I got here, and basically I got told that I didn't have Western Australian education or, you know, any experience, so I couldn't get any job. So I had a master-in-law, and I couldn't even be a legal secretary anywhere. So
really?
It was really, and it was really difficult. So also moving to another side of the world in itself is a really big deal. Mm. And then experiencing that was really difficult because I got no after no after no after no after no, like, you know what I mean? It was constant. So one of the things that I did, because I was realizing that this was happening and it was really impacting me, is that I created a routine. So that's what I always say to people, don't just start giving up. So I would go to the gym and I get up and do it again, because it gets really disheartening, right? You send a resume, you try to talk to people. And at one point I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? And that's one thing that people can do, is ask for some help. So at one point I said to my husband's family, who are from here, I said, I'm so stuck. I've tried everything. I don't know what to do. Mm. So I end up getting a job through a family member as a personal assistant for a CEO. Definitely not something that I wanted to do, but I just, and that's the other thing, just take any opportunity. I was like, well, I've got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And that gave me, and I have to say, that job was incredible because, first of all, I got so much respect for personal assistants. Like, oh my God, like, I have one myself now and I just go to her, and without you, I go insane. And that's the first thing. But I learned how to do business in Australia, because this guy was amazing and I got to work for him, and because the language is different and the culture is different, and I had no idea because I was from another continent. So it was like the perfect setup looking back at it for running my own business here, right? Mm. But then I realized, of course, that this was not what I wanted to do in life, because I wanted to be a mediator. I wanted to do what I do now. And I started to figure out, so that's the other thing that I would say to people, start to figure out, okay, where do you want to go? Right. So figure out the goal, the bigger picture. And it's not something you're going to do in 2 weeks or 3 months or, you know, so you have a big picture of where you want to go, and then you reverse engineer that. So I had to work back from that. So I had to do some education. I had to do, you know, stuff. And I did all that while I was working there. So the context of working there was also great for me, because I knew this was temporary and I was going to move myself forward and make sure that I did everything I needed to do. So when I got my mediation certification, all the things I needed, and I think I did that in, I've only worked there for a year, I think. But I started knocking on doors. I just went to the city and started knocking on doors, like the good old-fashioned way, because I knew my resume would go to the bottom of the pile because I had no experience in Western Australia, right?
Yep.
And, I ended up talking to people, and I got a couple of no's again, and I was like, not again, right? but then one guy said to me, I can't use you right now, but you sound fabulous. And he called me back a month later and said, listen, something has opened up. You want to come and work as a mediator here? And that was my first job as a mediator in Australia. And from there on, you know, I'm now a award-winning mediator, Australian Mediator of the Year, stuff like that. But that was my first job. It was because I didn't give up and because I just copped a lot of no's.
Mm.
And also I knew what the bigger picture was. So I got quite inspired about where I wanted to go.
Yep.
And I think when you have a big picture, it's much easier to get those knocks, because you're like, okay, well, this is just part of where I'm trying to get. And I just have to get through that somehow. And support is really important. Talk to people about it. It's okay to not feel great. It's okay to go, oh my God, that was horrible. I just put all my time and effort into that. And then, you know, someone didn't even read it or just said, no, see you later. That's hard, right?
Yeah.
So get some support, get a coach, have people around you that help you through these kind of things. And I think just keep going, but know where you're going. If you're going to a road of nowhere, that's not very inspiring. And of course you're going to give up, because you're not sure what the context is and what you're doing this for.
I think that although you got through it all, I think that failure can really shatter people's confidence.
Yeah.
So you obviously jump back from it because of the sort of person that you are, but some people aren't in that position. So what would you say to somebody who, you know, has a failure or there's an obstacle and it really shatters their confidence and, you know, they don't know what to do. They're sort of, you know, stuck. So how do people get over that? Or can they get over
it? I think you can. I think anyone, there's nothing special about me, because I think anyone can do it. But I do think you need to get help. Sometimes you can't get past something and you don't know why. And that's nothing wrong with you. It's just the way it is. You have choices. You can go, okay, well, I can't get past this. So now for the rest of my life, I'm going to walk around feeling like a failure and that I can't do anything. I'm not going to go after my dreams, whatever they are. Or I can go and get some help from a coach or whoever that I trust and work on to see if I can get past it. Because you've got nothing to lose, right? Otherwise, you're going to feel like that anyway. So that would be my main thing. And create a clear future. And just be really also proud of the things that you do and not focus on the things you don't do. Like one of the things that I used to do, I used to create this massive to-do list. And at the end of the day, I would feel like a failure because I felt like I didn't get anything done. But the list was completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Same with goals. Like don't make a goal that you'll earn $1 million next week. And it's not, of course you have to dream, but it has to have one foot in reality, right? It has to be from where you're at right now. So you can have a long-term goal, but sometimes people also create these crazy goals that they're just not going to reach and then they're going to feel like a failure. So also do things that are a bit realistic. But one of the things that a friend of mine talked to me about, which I think is really helpful, is called the reverse to-do list. So instead of making this long list that you feel like you never get anything done, you're failing at life, it's all awful, you actually look at the end of the day of what did you actually do? And how did you actually move forward that day? And it's incredible when you actually sit down at the end of the day and you show yourself all the things that you've done. You're like, wow, I'm amazing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and
when you start having those kind of conversations with yourself to go, oh my God, like pat on the back, great job. It changes. It's the same with having gratitude. So where focus goes, energy goes. So when you start being so positive and go, oh my God, well done, Lizanna. Oh, well done, John. You did this today. Oh my God, you really moved this forward. Like you're going closer to your goal. It's a little step, but great. The more you're going to have that kind of conversation with yourself, the more successful you're going to get at it. So it's like a vicious cycle. So you can break those cycles with practices of gratitude, of acknowledging yourself for all the things you do. And if you really are stuck, then I say get some support.
Now, do people get in a scenario where failure becomes the norm and they get used to it and they get comfortable with it? The fact that they're going to do something and then it fails, but that's what happens all the time, so they're kind of comfortable with that thing happening. Does that ever happen with people?
I'm not sure the context of what you mean. I think one of the things that I do see is people who are used to having really big dreams and going for really big stuff, they know they're going to fail and they are not afraid of it. So but I don't think that's the one that you mean.
I kind of do, because there are some people that, you know, they'll try something and it'll fail and then they'll move on to the next thing and it'll fail. And I kind of, I was wondering whether that scenario or that happening like all the time, people sort of start to get comfortable with the fact that it's going to be a failure.
Well, that thing is, like, again, it depends on the context. If you have felt like you have this big dream and you know, like, you know, I said to my son today, if you're going to be on the couch all day and you don't do anything, you know, you're not going to fail at things. So as soon as you start trying stuff and as soon as you start putting yourself out there, they're going to be things that are not going to work. So you can almost condition yourself going, well, I'm going to try this. But if it fails, it doesn't mean anything. And then that's the conversation that when you are able to have that with yourself and not comparing yourself to others because you're on your own journey. Social media is terrible for this. Like people go, oh, well, what about this person? And they're doing this and that. But it's all about when you know where you're going. Again, if you have a goal, if you have a vision and you know, but when you start, you're going to go, well, I'm going to fail at something and that's okay. Then it's less impactful. It doesn't mean it doesn't impact because it's always, you know, when you put lots of effort and time and money or whatever into something, it's not a nice feeling, but you can get past it a lot quicker because it's just part of the journey. And when you can get that, it's much easier to get past it for sure.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of successful people out there who actually have had quite a few failures.
Things are lots of time trial and error when you're in business or even in relationships. If you try something new and then you go, oh, that didn't work, did it? Let's not do that again.
Yeah.
So let's try something different, because I think it's also the current environment that has taught us anything with COVID and everything like that. Like things can change very quickly. So what worked yesterday doesn't mean it works today. So, you know, that's the other thing I feel when I'm running my business and also with my family and personal things. Don't get like blasé about it and go, okay, well, you know, I'm going to keep doing this because it has been working. Well, you might get a smack in the face at one point going, well, actually, it's not working at all anymore. Things have changed so rapidly. So you've got to constantly be curious about, is this still working? Have a conversation with your family. Is this still working? What are we doing? Do we need to do something different? Do I need to get more help from people in business? Are my clients still happy with this? Is this still working? Oh, it's not. Okay, let's change it. And you can see what's not working as a failure, but you can also go, well, it's just not working. Let's just change it.
I think there's also a scenario where people do have a failure, and when they get out of that failure or come back from that failure, before they move on to the next thing, they start to really analyze exactly what they're about to do next. And I call it, I have a name for it, and I've heard this name used quite a bit. It's paralysis via analysis. And I know that it's happened to me a couple of times where, you know, you're so focused on making sure that you don't make a mistake that you don't move forward any further.
Yeah.
Because your whole thing is all about researching the fact that you're not going to make a mistake.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's because I know, you know, that can be in business, but it can also be in personal relationship. One of the things that I say to myself, and if you're listening to this and you're not sure about making mistakes, is I always say to my clients, perfect practice makes perfect. Because we have this saying, practice makes perfect. But if you practice the wrong thing over and over again, that doesn't make perfect. We don't have to be perfect. But so, you know, you have to adjust things. And that's why I keep coming with the coach. If you want to run a marathon or you want to be an Olympic athlete, you're going to have someone telling you what you do wrong and what is not working and or how you can do it better. And then you adjust things and then you can get more skilled at what you're doing. And I think that goes for relationships, it goes for business, it goes for anything you do. And if you get that context, it actually becomes really exciting to fail. It sounds a bit weird, but it's like, well, let's have a look what's not working and then I can change it. And that's really exciting.
That's an interesting scenario, getting excited about failure. Well, it's not, you're not,
yeah,
really,
why
saying,
not?
Not really saying that, are you? You're saying, you know, you're going to learn from it. Is that
That's right? Yeah, but you can get excited about the learning process and about what's on the other side.
Mm.
Because I think that's often what stops us from doing things because we are afraid if we're going to fail or it's not going to look great. But when you have done it a couple of times, and that's, I think, what you meant before, do people get used to it? If you keep doing things, like it's like having a difficult conversation. You're afraid that it will go wrong, but it actually and it goes really well and you get a great result. The next time you have to do it, you might not be as nervous because you know what's on the other side. It's not nice to have that conversation, but you know it's going to improve things. It's the same with failure. If you have failed over and over again and you know the benefit of it, then it's much easier to fail because you know it's not a nice feeling at the moment, but you're going to get through it and you're going to learn and something great will come out of it. So it's just that kind of conditioning of going through a process that might not feel comfortable because it's not comfortable, but then you know what's on the other side. So you go, well, I might as well go through it. It's okay.
Yep.
I'm sure something great will come out of it and have that trust a little bit as well. But you first have to take the first step. And I think what you're saying, some people get so paralyzed that they never take the first step.
Yeah,
and if you really are paralyzed and you can't do it, that's when you're going to need help from someone to coach you through that and to get you to do that.
To try and sort of break the cycle, I think.
Yes.
You know, because it sort of goes round and round and round in your head and all that sort of stuff. I said that, you know, I've done it. I know other people have done it, you know.
Yeah, before. I think everyone has.
And I can see them doing it as well. Sometimes
I know.
I want to say and to them, also, look, by the way, this is paralysis by analysis.
Yeah, and it gets really boring, right? Like I notice it with myself because I do it too, right? Everyone does. And I find it a really boring conversation. At one point, I'm so sick of it. Because I also know, you know, I really, you know, analyze myself as well, I guess. And I go, oh, my God, there's that conversation again. So bored of that. So let's do something about that. And if I can't do it on my own because if I'm lacking skills in that, then I get someone to come and help me.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you've had lots of good information on the podcast today. I hope our listeners have, you know, learned something today.
And I hope so too.
Do you have top three tips, let's say, for overcoming setbacks, failures and hurdles?
One of them I already said, I think it's important to have someone to work with that is not, you know, your family members who might not believe in your new idea or, you know what I mean? Like someone who's actually going to support you and achieve what you want to achieve. And that can be a paid coach or someone that you trust in your environment. So it's really important to have people around you like that because otherwise you're going to get sucked into the void of, no, this is not possible and it's never going to happen.
Number two.
Really important. Yeah, so I think the distinction about, you know, being aware that if something failed, you haven't failed. It's like something completely different.
Uh-huh.
And then when you're up to things in life and you want to create waves or do something amazing, you're going to fail. So not to be afraid of it. It is going to happen. So I think when you get really clear on that concept, that really, really helps.
Yeah, and number three?
More to realize that, like I said before, like things will take time and effort and to have unrealistic expectations of the things that you want to do and really sit down and work it out and see what you want to do and create a solid goal or a solid plan. And yeah, just be realistic about it with having a dream. Like I love people who dream because I think you need to dream to be able to create new ideas, but it can't be so far out that you set yourself up for failure because that's just going to be then a conversation you have with yourself over and over again. Look, see how I failed. I can't do it. See how I failed. But you haven't actually thought about something that is a massive dream, and you can dream big. I'm all for that. But to really go, okay, but how am I actually going to achieve that? And what are the realistic steps I have to take? And not just go, oh, I'm just going to sit on the couch and pray that this will happen in 2 years and then wonder why I failed. So you're going to have to put some substance to it and really start taking consistent action.
All right, Lizanne, it's been great talking to you today. Now, oh, by the way, you've got a podcast yourself, haven't you? Tell us all about that.
Yeah, I do. It's called Conversations to Cut the Conflict. You can listen to it on any platform, but it really talks about, you know, how to communicate well when you're under stress, how to negotiate. If you want to get to big dreams in your life, you know, negotiation is something we do all day, every day. So when you learn to do that really well, it's really helpful, how to resolve conflict. I do have an episode about how to be happy, I guess, within yourself and not having other people facilitate that. So that's maybe in terms of the failure and what we talked about, a positive mindset. I interview people and sometimes it's just me. So come on over and have a listen.
Great, Lizanne. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, John. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of About Success 123. Now, please rate the show and subscribe so you can get new episodes when they drop. See you next time.